There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
And here we go. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile on this Thursday. Glad to have you here. And we will check in with staff meteorologist Dr. Bill Williams. Rain, there's been a few light showers coming through Mobile and Baldwin counties, but the bulk of the rain still to our north and west. Of course, that will be what brings those cooler temps in for tomorrow and the weekend. And if you hadn't heard this morning, Dr. Bill is talking about the forecast for Tuesday into Wednesday. It's going to be, well, okay, any of us that are on the duty where we have to bring plants into the house or cover them up or all that, it might be cover up the plants, bring them inside weather. So, but that's going to be Tuesday or Wednesday, but cooler weather over the weekend. But we got the rain coming through today into tomorrow morning. So more details on that coming up. Also, we will continue to talk about our online opinion poll question about Jeff Sessions getting in the Senate race. It looks like, I would say this, they're not confirming and they're not saying anything specific other than Jeff Sessions will be on Tucker Carlson tonight. Now, I got my buddy Robert Kennedy in studio, and they wouldn't book Tucker for him to say he's not running.
Well, you know,
I know that's my Sherlock Holmes moment. But
I was going to say earlier this morning when we were doing the 8 to 8:30 segment, I announced that I was not running for office in 2020.
That's correct.
I didn't get a whole wave of media attention coming to me afterwards trying to understand why I'm not running, right? People don't go on national airwaves to say that they're not running.
Right.
They do it to say that they are.
So this is going to start, there's a lot of dominoes. You should play that. I still don't know how to play dominoes, but I would line them up and do the little domino things when I was a kid. And I see this happening tonight, actually already, that first domino falls. And where does it go with Jeff Sessions getting in the Senate race?
Which, and then you add in the fact that President Trump is coming down to the game on Saturday.
Right. If things weren't already interesting enough around this Alabama Senate race on the Republican side, as Doug Jones waits to see who he'll be in the general against, now you have Republican, you'll have intra-party fighting inside Republicans.
Yes, and the beauty about it from my chair as a Democrat is just Republicans just spend all their money, just bloodying each other up, and watching Senator Doug Jones continue to increase the size of his war chest. So,
and that's the way, that's straight politics there, y'all. By the way, 43%, listen to this here, 43% of people respond to the poll. Because the question, would you consider voting for Jeff Sessions in the 2020 Senate primary, Republican primary? 43% say yes, 43% say no, and 14% undecided.
Sounds about right.
You know, it is interesting, that breakdown, as there's some polling that shows Jeff Sessions, if he was in, they had done the imaginary polling in the past, doing quite well, beating out Tommy Tuberville. But then you look at some of the stuff today, that poll's a couple months old. Now it looks like...
Is that the one you were talking to Todd Stacey about earlier?
That's right. Okay. Yeah, the one that had him at 29% over Tuberville 21 and down. We'll see what it's reflected, because while we've had trouble getting a lot of polling on the Alabama Senate race so far, well, now that Jeff Sessions is going to announce he's in, we'll have polling weekly.
Of course, and then you got to still peg Chief Justice Moore as the X factor.
Yeah, does he?
Because his support has been consistent at that 30-35%, pretty much across the board.
Is it... So, and what, you know, what we're talking about here, y'all, is this is a two-part deal. And they've been talking about it even before Jeff Sessions would be in the mix. There's the primary, but there's two people in the primary trying to get in the runoff. This is a runoff game with as many candidates in here. This is the runoff game. It's make sure you're one of the two people in the runoff.
Exactly.
That's how it's done. Hey, speaking of intra-party discussions. You and I can banter about a lot of things, but you have joined me today, what I've been asking for a long time.
And about a year, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, you had your reasons. Correctly. You said, hold on, Sullivan, hold on. I'm going to do this for you. We're going to talk about what's going on with the Alabama Democrat Party. And I've talked about it in the past. I said, you know, I'm not a Democrat, but I'm interested in people in our state. What's going on with this party?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, at the end of the day, we know that we end up producing a better quality of legislation if we have a viable two-party system.
I agree on that.
Due to a number of factors that have existed here over, call it the last 9 years at this point, we have become less and less effective as a caucus. And so from my perspective, going through it first as a candidate and then just sort of watching it with a little bit more diligence than I had when I was not a candidate, I have some interesting observations. But I think I would start off by saying I'm actually a little bit disappointed. And where my disappointment comes in is not on the substance of the issues, because we'll talk about that in the course of the hour, but on the way that they've been reported. And so it seems like there's so much history, there's so much angst, there's so much consternation that even our members of the media have a tendency to be infusing commentary into their communications when, for all intents and purposes, they should start by communicating fact and then offering commentary on fact. So that's one of the things that I'm hoping
you
gotta clarify.
Yeah, and that's I love to do that because, you know, we set the foundation here. You know, that's the questions I have that I don't know. And then, yeah, then you can have an opinion off of it. So if we do set that foundation, how far back do we travel here for this discussion? You said 9 years.
Well, for the purposes of right now, let's just start with June of 2018.
Okay, what happens in June of 2018?
So the Democratic Party is governed by what is called the State Democratic Executive Committee.
SDEC.
That's correct. And the basis of that committee centers around elected positions. So each district corresponds to a House district. So I live in Pritchard. Yeah. I am in House District 98.
Right.
And so when I went to vote in the Democratic primary, in addition to voting for myself, voted for my one male and one female representative to the State Democratic Executive Committee.
So they show up. They are from 98.
That is correct. Okay. So my male member is Representative Napoleon Bracey, and my female member is Mrs. Carletta Davis.
Okay.
So we voted for them. They get elected. So you do the math throughout the state. That gives you about 210 elected officials statewide who become the basis of the State Democratic Executive Committee. So this happens during the primary, June of 2018.
So this is this process sends these people to represent the interests of the Democrat Party.
That is correct.
From your area, my area, his area, her area.
Absolutely. Okay. It's all geographical. It aligns to the House districts.
Okay. All right.
So now you go to August 2018, and now you are having an organizational meeting of the State Democratic Executive Committee where that group will elect leadership.
So the 200 and some odd people are going to figure out who's going to be the boss.
That is correct. Okay. So here's the point at which I actually have to go back 29 years. So around 1990 or 1991, there was a court case. And the court case involved members of the State Democratic Executive Committee, primarily African American, who were suing the party under the umbrella of not having enough representation in the State Democratic Executive Committee. And so we know that state districts are gerrymandered. And because of the gerrymandering, the percentage of African Americans represented was less than their percentage in the population as a whole.
Okay.
So they basically sued for it.
Okay.
Now, here's the first thing that's important to realize. At the time, African Americans were about 32-33% of the Democratic electorate.
Okay.
So a consent decree is issued during that time by a judge, and it basically says, when you come up with your elected officials, what we're referring to as the 210, then you have to appoint additional members out of the African-American community such that the overall percentage is equal to the percentage of African-Americans in the population. And so there were two population classifications, one for the party itself and one for the community at large, and it was whatever number ended up being more. Are you with me so far?
Okay, so you have the 210, the people that have been elected.
That's correct.
They're there. And they say, okay, but African-Americans only make up, 20% of this group. So we have to add 13% into that. there wouldn't be another election. They just would appoint. Who would appoint?
So the appointments came out of the Minority Affairs Caucus. So
within
the State Democratic Executive Committee.
Okay.
So the elected minorities, and for the purposes of this part of the conversation, because it's going to change later, for the purpose of this conversation, minority is black.
Okay.
It is only black. It is not Native American, not Hispanic, nothing else. It is simply black.
Okay.
So the elected black members of the State Democratic Executive Committee, like from House 98, scenario that I just set up for you, would gather, and then that group would nominate people to fill the block of at-large appointed seats.
Okay.
And then that would go to the overall State Democratic Executive Committee, and then they would vote to accept or reject what is given to them as a whole.
Not individuals.
It's a block.
Okay.
Okay. So let me finish this because I can see your wood burning on individual questions. Okay. So let's go back to August of 2018. So in August of 2018, the elected members of the Minority Caucus get together. They elect their vice chair for Minority Affairs, who's Dr. Joe Reed.
Mm-hmm.
And then they nominate a block of 35-ish, maybe a little more, a little less, about 35 people. That block ends up being accepted by the State Democratic Executive Committee, and now the overall number becomes 245.
Okay, we went from 210 to 245.
There are a couple of other kind of cats and dogs there.
Are those that came in, the 35 that come in, mm-hmm. do they have the same, are they seen the same for votes or decisions as the 210?
It is all equal.
All equal, okay.
All equal at this point. Okay, so... and I don't remember what the exact number is, but the overall number is somewhere between 245 and 250,
something like that.
Okay, so that's the State Democratic Executive Committee. Now you have an election for chair and vice chair. So a couple of days before the election, Aucklin got a phone call.
This is your wife.
This is my wife, Aucklin Kennedy. Yeah. And so people figured out as we were going through campaigning, if they really needed to get me, she was the gatekeeper.
Mm-hmm.
And so it ended up being a fairly prominent person in Democratic strategic circles who was calling. They had a conversation. She hands the phone to me. And what the individual was doing was they were giving me a heads up that on Saturday, they were going to essentially attempt to unseat Nancy Worley. Okay. So this is a Thursday.
And y'all know we talked about Nancy Worley and Joe Reed, but
that's right.
Nancy Worley, she is the sitting chair. So
she's the chair of the Democratic Executive Committee.
Right.
So I get the call on Thursday. We know this is going to happen on Saturday. We're not members of the State Democratic Executive Committee, but we were there. We're in the audience. We're actually watching everything that ends up happening. So the challenger was an attorney and lobbyist named Peck Fox.
Okay.
Who was nominated by Senator Doug Jones.
Right. We've known this name from just about a year ago. His name came up, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So they have an election, and in that election, Chair Worley wins re-election. Peck Fox subsequently runs for vice chair. Vice Chair Randy Kelly wins re-election. And so there was an entire slate of opposition candidates, and as you went down the slate, all of the opposition candidates lost.
Hmm.
Okay, so I'll pause at this standpoint and let you ask me questions before.
Well, we're going to run the break and go to the news break, and we're coming right back because yes, I do. As you see,
I'm sure you do.
I've got questions, and you know what? If y'all have got questions here, if you've wondered like me, you heard I've talked about it. Other news groups have talked about it in the state, but you may not have known the timeline and trying to understand how all this works. We got a chance to get an education. That's what we're doing right now. We'll do this on the text line. Once again, 343-0106. There you go. Get those texts in and we'll ask them when we get back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 1224, FM Talk 106.5, and welcome to Thursday. Dr. Bill's forecast is on the way. Rain in the mix, cooler temperatures by the weekend. Get that coming up and continue our discussion with my buddy Robert Kennedy Jr., Kennedy for Alabama. Another we can plug here, too, tomorrow night at
6 o'clock p.m.
All right, and I'm going through these texts, and we're going to ask these as we go through, but I will say this. I get people are asking the right kind of, this is not a, really a, y'all, I'm trying to, these are questions I've been asking Robert for a long time. This is not policy, Republican, Democrat policy. This is trying to understand the functioning of the Alabama Democrat Party, and we get bits and pieces of the story that it's in turmoil, and you got splits and divisions, mm-hmm. and here's Senator Doug Jones, who's been, I'd say, the biggest success story for Democrats in Alabama mm-hmm. for quite a while, but he's now part of a group, and then there's Peck Fox, and I mean, I feel like I'm in a novel here, you know?
Yeah, this would actually make an interesting story if anyone takes the time to write it. Now, yeah. I'm not sure anybody would want to read it, but it definitely is interesting.
Well, okay, so, and we started off, he kind of gave us the history, and we got to this point where you're talking about this, the process of bringing up from a 1991 consent decree mm-hmm. to get the ratio of black folks in the Democrat Alabama Alabama State Democrat Party to reflect the population in the state of Alabama.
That is correct.
And so you had elected officials, like you said, coming from each of the districts, but then these were the at-large people that came in to bring up that number.
That's correct. So within the minority caucus,
okay.
the elected members voted for leadership, Dr. Joe Reed, and in addition voted on a block of at-large folk who were going to be nominated for the at-large positions. So that nomination goes to the full body, mm-hmm. and then it is voted on in a block by the full body. And so the full body voted to seat the block. Okay. So that's what took the number from 210 to 245-ish.
By the way, just a question. Does that happen every time you have new elections? Is there a new block every four years? Okay, it does. So they're not like grandfathered in or anything?
That is correct. Okay. It's every 4 years. Okay. Right. So the election happens. Nancy Worley wins the election for chair. Randy Kelly wins the election for vice chair, and then the remainder of what we will call the opposition slate all loses. They all go down in defeat. So subsequent to the election, there was a complaint filed with the DNC.
Okay.
And the complaint basically had two components. The first one was that there were voting irregularities. That was the term that was used, and I'll explain what that means here in just a second. And then the second one was that the rule coming off the 1990-1991 consent decree that only defined African Americans as black, or I'm sorry, only defined minorities as African American or black, that the rule was flawed mm-hmm. and set up a process of essentially discriminating against Asian Pacific Islanders, mm-hmm. Native Americans, Hispanics, et cetera, and that was essentially not in line with the overall DNC's goal.
So right. Somebody said other states, somebody was telling me about this, and from their take, mm-hmm. correct me here, that other states, as they look at the apportionment inside their state Democrat parties, that they do follow, like, if there's 2% Pacific Islander, if there's, they make sure different minorities are represented.
So there are people who say that.
Okay.
That is not research that I have done, so I cannot confirm it
okay.
or deny it. What I can say coming out of the Democratic National Committee was that the idea of the caucus, so there being a Hispanic caucus or an LGBTQ caucus, that the DNC said that Alabama's bylaws were not in alignment with their vision for how state parties should be constructed.
Okay, so I'm going to throw this out. You can tell me if this is, maybe it would help me understand. You said mm-hmm. LGBTQ. Okay, so let's say there's some, I don't know how you do this because it's not a census thing, but if there was something mm-hmm. out that said 2% of Alabamians or 10, whatever the number mm-hmm. is, and then you looked at, we've got our elections, and I don't know if anybody's running as a gay candidate, mm-hmm. but we look at this and we're only showing 1%
right
representation. Would there be a move to have a at-large group of gay folks move in to equal that number for the percent?
Yeah, that's correct.
If you get so many groups, how do you end up?
Okay, so you're skipping around a little bit, but what you just described is essentially what the advocacy was mm-hmm. coming out of the Democratic National Committee as they proposed bylaws for the state of Alabama.
Okay.
So we'll get to that in October of 2019.
All right.
But going back here to August of 2018, so now at this point, the complaint has been filed, voting irregularities and problems with the rule. So let me explain to you what the voting irregularities were. So as I mentioned before, my wife, Auckland, and I went there, and so we're actually watching the election happen. And so here was the sequence of events. So the first thing they would do would be like a voice vote. And the voice vote ends up being close. So the second thing they would do would be a standing vote. So the audience just stands up. This is all happening in an auditorium. Mm-hmm. It's open to the public and the media. Everybody's sitting here watching it. The numbers are still close with the standing vote. So the third thing they would do is a count.
Okay.
So now each row is standing up. You have multiple counters on each side, and they're going down and are literally counting. And so anybody who's in the room as well can be counting as well, mm-hmm. right? And so the fourth option, which was one that was not exercised in this particular election, was a roll call vote.
Yeah, well, that's pretty accurate way to do it.
Okay. All right. So what ended up happening was we went through the first three, and it ended up being decided based upon the count. And so one of the voting irregularities that was highlighted was that the number of people who signed in, and I'm rounding the number, was maybe 145.
Okay.
But the people who voted was closer to 190.
Hmm.
So they're saying there's a disconnect between those two, so that's identified as an irregularity.
Yeah, well, I'm not a mathematician, but I can see an irregularity right there. We're coming right back. More of this discussion with Robert Kennedy Jr., and we're getting your text as well. I'm going to answer or ask those questions. He's going to answer them when we come back. Okay?
Yeah.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
By 12:35, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Continue conversation with Robert Kennedy Jr. Kennedy for Alabama tomorrow night at 6. But he has given us the history of how we have gone, well, you said as far back as 29 years and 9 years, but this is a, let's say, 2018 to now kind of conversation.
Right.
And also somebody asked, too, your email address. They want to...
Sure. My email address is info@kennedyforalabama.org. That's info@kennedy4alabama.org.
Okay,
we'd love to hear your thoughts.
Yeah, and I'm seeing some. We're gonna get some of these text questions. So y'all keep them. I am gonna ask them. I'm just getting them lined up here. We talked about voting irregularities. The problem with the rule.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got. Where are we now?
Okay, so now I'm just gonna clump a series of time between call it August of 2018 and August of 2019.
Okay,
the Alabama Democratic Party, Democratic National Committee are going back and forth, right?
Okay.
And so over the course of that time, the DNC issued directives in two buckets.
So the national DNC is talking to this Alabama.
That's correct.
Okay.
So the first thing they did was they stopped providing funding to the ADP. They were providing about $10,000 a month and just basic keep the lights on sort of funding. Mm-hmm. They cut that off.
Okay.
The next thing they did was they invalidated the August 2018 election, basically saying the claims of irregularities were valid.
Okay, well, you talked about there. Okay.
We talked about that before. Okay. The next thing was they directed the Alabama Democratic Party to revise its rules and bylaws, to get those rules and bylaws pre-approved by the DNC Rules and Bylaws Subcommittee, and then issue those revised rules to the SDC for approval. And so this gets to what you started to drill down and ask questions about.
Mm-hmm.
It was seating these additional caucuses, collectively referred to as the Diversity Caucus.
Okay.
But by components, they were Asian American, Pacific Islander, Native American, Hispanic ethnicity, LGBTQ. And then one that really popped on a radar screen was youth, for people who were ages 35 and under. And then wrapping up with the Disabilities Caucus.
Because you said earlier in our conversation that up to this point, talking about minority caucus, that meant black, African-American.
That's correct.
And now the national was saying, wait, it means other things.
That's correct. Now, remember, I talked about the number was calculated based upon the percentage in the population.
Mm-hmm.
And so you and I talked about, but typically when you're talking about race and age, you can kind of quantify those. LGBTQ is a little bit different.
Right.
Right. So when you put all the numbers together, remember before we were talking about 35 appointed out of 210 elected.
Yeah.
Well, now the number has become 79 additional appointed.
Wow.
On top of the 35 originally appointed. Do you see what I'm saying? So now you're well over 300 people, and you're close to having as many appointed
as elected.
As elected. So with that, what are your questions?
Holy cow. Okay, so a couple things here. Actually, I'm going to ask listener questions
sure.
first, and then I'll get to mine. So Cody says, I believe it's a fairly strong consensus that Worley, he means Nancy Worley, has been a fairly inept leader for the Alabama Democrat Party. The Democrat Party has basically become irrelevant overall across Alabama. Why do you guys reelect her and expect different results?
So here's interesting. For the purposes of the conversation right now, I'm trying to decouple performance from what actually happened. And this is the reason why the time frame is so significant. So we're talking about August of 2018.
Mm-hmm.
So at this point, we're coming off Doug Jones being elected
mm-hmm.
in December of 2017. Now, I know there are people within the Senator Jones campaign that will say the Democratic Party, Alabama Democratic Conference, Alabama New South had nothing to do with him getting elected.
Hey, and I've heard that. Yeah.
Right? So but I'm just saying.
That it was in spite of or without help of.
I'm saying that is what they are saying, but mm-hmm. that is a win on the board, if you will, that she's claiming.
Okay.
In addition to that, for the first time, we had a full slate of candidates.
Mm-hmm.
Think about that. All the way up and down the board, we had a full slate of candidates. So going into that election, remember, I found out when somebody was ostensibly attempting to solicit my support 2 days before the election actually happened.
Hmm.
And if you looked at the slate of candidates, this is the first time I'm going to go racial on you.
Okay.
The slate of opposition candidates were almost exclusively white, with the exception of one, the vice chair of youth affairs or something like that.
Okay.
So think about that all coming together. To that point in time, nobody was advocating for a different caucus.
Right.
Nobody had filed any complaints with the DNC. It all came up subsequent to that August of 2018. Now, if you want to talk about what happened in the election, the results that happened, and if you wanted to make a decision based upon performance, we can have that conversation. But at this point in time, there was not a wave against it.
All right, so there's Cody's question. This one from unnamed texter. As a former member of the Alabama Democratic Party, I must say that this type of racism and backdoor deals is exactly what's wrong with this party.
What's the racism that the texter is referring to?
I don't know.
I know it's interesting because a lot of folks have tried to classify it as reverse racism. And as you and I were talking about on the call, even if you took race out of it, no group who's operating in accordance with rules, where those rules exist to their benefit, voluntarily decides they're going to change the rules. Nobody does that, regardless of what color they are. And so the reason why you ended up with such a large number of appointed positions, it was coming off of two factors. One was the consent decree in 1990-1991 timeframe. Mm-hmm. But just to be honest, you had a lot of white Democrats who left the party. So that ended up leaving a greater concentration of African-American Democrats.
Yeah, because I'm looking at some of the other, I mean, Polcat asked Mr. Kennedy if he could bring back the Blue Dog Democrats minus the racism, of course. Yeah. Where are
you? Know, I'm loving the Blue Dog Democrats.
Yeah, you mentioned, I mean, you look at other states, and I mean, mm-hmm. purple states, blue states, even some red states.
Sure.
The single white male.
Yes.
The straight white male. Straight mm-hmm. white male.
Right. Cisgender straight white male.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, whatever the term, that guy.
Yes.
Where are they in the Democrat Party?
Well, they left. They all became Republicans.
I mean, that happens in Alabama and didn't happen in Indiana or something like that.
Well, it happened across the South for all intents and purposes. Some other parts of the country you alluded to didn't. But this is one of the things that we have to address as a reality. If we start talking about recruiting based upon demographics, then we need to recruit based upon demographics. And that's another demographic we should be reaching out to.
This is Terry say, did the people leave the party or did the party leave the people?
I've actually heard that expression a lot. And here's what I found fascinating. You know this from before, but the listeners may not. So during the last cycle, after I won the Democratic nomination, I used to follow Representative Byrne around to all mm-hmm. of his town halls. I went to probably 14 or 16 of his town halls. And I would talk to people and I would listen to them and understand what their concerns are. And I think what came out of that was just an understanding and a respect for the fact that all of us are generally dealing with the same things. And I think that my performance, although I didn't win the election, it showed that I outperformed both racially and from a party perspective as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I directly attributed that to going to people in their environments, listening to what their concerns were and trying to address them. I know there's some philosophies within the party that say you only try to increase turnout among your core voters.
Okay, I have heard. Yes, I mm-hmm. have heard that it's all about turnout. But eventually, that can't last forever.
Well, especially if you're in the minority.
Yeah.
Right. So you want to increase turnout among your base. There's no question about that. But in addition to that, you want to reach out, in my case, to independents and moderate Republicans, and explain that from a platform standpoint, as your texter said, I'm closer to what they would have historically referred to as a blue dog Democrat, and why it is that particular approach, centrist, business friendly, passionate about pragmatism and moderation, is something that actually works out better for the state.
You know what's interesting watching this in a national sense, even though you and I are talking about Alabama, but let's look at what happened in Mississippi on Tuesday.
Okay.
So Hood loses, but Hood for Mississippi mm-hmm. in 2019 did pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
But he specifically did not have any national Democrats come in to campaign on his behalf. And I'll tell you, you saw something pretty similar with
in
Doug
Kentucky.
Jones and Kentucky as well.
Right.
What does that say to the party that, hey, here's the National Party,
right,
and they're saying they're putting down these directives, but if you're a Democrat in these other states, the best chance to victory is to not have somebody from another part of the country who's a Democrat come in here and campaign for you, where usually that's like, oh, yeah, let's get the most important person in our party to come in and raise money.
Well, I'm not agreeing with that statement wholesale, but what I would say is that you want to have the right type of National Democrat come into the state, and it would be the types of Democrats that you can actually connect with. So one of the things that we joked about during our campaign was within the last 2 weeks of the Senate primary, that was a time frame where I was most competitive with
right.
Senator Doug Jones. I had popped on some of the national, some of the local surveys about the Senate race. And Senator Jones brought in Vice President Biden.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he actually knows Vice President Biden, has
right.
a personal relationship with him. But Vice President Biden, being a moderate and based upon his relationship historically with President Obama, is the right type of Democrat to bring here into the state of Alabama. Now, I know some of the other presidential candidates have actually come through as well, but even to a person, they have been much better received, even across the board, than some, call it, Democrats who would not be as well received if they showed up in the state of Alabama. So I think there's a way to balance the two, but I definitely understand what Attorney General Hood was doing in Mississippi and what Senator Jones was doing in Alabama when they decided to do it based upon local issues as opposed to national ones.
All right, we come back. I want to find out about what happens at the convention this year.
Okay.
You know, how this plays out. Also, bring it up to date here where we are in November 2019. And then, yeah, you know how I like to do it. Let's look forward. What things will, in your crystal ball, in your mind, will happen next and next and next as we talk about this. And your chance to get your questions in on the text line at 343-0106. Robert Kennedy Jr., my guest, right here on Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. We're just talking with our next guest, Director of Alabama Wildlife and Freshwater Fisheries. Chuck Sykes is going to join us here coming up in hour number two. And this is just, I have so many more questions here, but Robert, you give me timelines here.
Yes.
So
yes.
Kind of pick it up here. Where are we going next?
Okay. So I had given you the first chunk of DNC directives. So now let me give you the second chunk and just kind of wrap this up for you. So the DNC was frustrated with the pace at which the Alabama Democratic Party was responding.
Okay.
So they issued an additional four directives. The first is they said they would not accept the delegate selection plan submitted by the Alabama Democratic Party for the Democratic National Convention.
Okay.
Okay. In addition to that, they revoked the DNC credentials for Chair Worley and Vice Chair Kelly. So
okay.
Now they're not authorized to come and participate anymore.
Yeah, that's the one I thought that was a big deal. Am I right or wrong? Is that
It's a big deal from the perspective of those two as an individual, but we still have seven additional members
okay.
from the state of Alabama that are part of the DNC.
Okay.
And then they issued what we would refer to as a quid pro quo.
Quid pro quo?
Yes. I think that's topical given what we were talking about the impeachment. But basically they said, if you do what we ask, we'll review your delegate selection plan and seat Alabama's delegation at the Democratic National Convention next year.
Okay.
And if you don't, there wasn't really any additional, but it just kind of hangs out there.
Yeah.
So the timeline that we started out talking about with all of the candidates who are running in the 2020 cycle, the deadline is 5 p.m. tomorrow evening. And so that's when all the people who are interested in running for delegate to the National Convention have to have their information in. So we're still in this point where it's all just kind of hanging out there. So the last thing they did was they issued two deadlines. They said the rules need to be reviewed and approved by the 5th of October.
Okay.
And then new leadership elections need to happen by the 19th of October. So separate and apart from that, a group of state Democratic Executive Committee members got, call it 126-ish,
okay.
to agree to call a meeting on the 5th of October. This is different than the meeting that was called by Chair Worley on the 12th of October.
Okay.
Okay. And so on the 5th of November, October, on the 5th of October, 78 members of the State Democratic Executive Committee got together and voted on new rules.
Right.
So you with me on the numbers?
I'm with you, but yes.
So 78 got together and voted on the new rules.
Okay. Is that a quorum, or is that number? I mean,
so the number was a quorum.
Okay,
right, is defined as a quorum. Okay. But I highlight that because the original number we were talking about was about 250.
That's right.
So 78 of the folks got together and voted on the new rules.
Okay, the other folks didn't show up, or they weren't told.
That is correct. There was differences of opinion back and forth as to whether or not the meeting was valid.
Okay,
and so basically, call it the old guard decided not to come to that meeting because a meeting had already been called for a week later, the 12th of October.
Okay.
So now, on the 12th of October, the original group gets together, and the reform group showed up as well. So the group is a lot larger, you know, two times as large as it was the week before.
But this 78, they're coming in with it and saying, we got the rules.
Right. Well, now, the larger group votes, and they basically rescind the rules that were in place from the week before.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
So now you have the Democratic National Committee Chairman, Tom Perez, basically writing letters and saying, hey, the rules that are put into place on the 5th of October are the rules that are in place, not the ones that were rescinded and put in place on the 12th of October.
Because the ones on the 5th suited the DNC.
That is correct.
Yeah.
Because at this point, the DNC has picked a side.
Okay.
So, as I was mentioning before, the rules now required the additional caucuses to be put in place. And when you add the numbers up for the additional caucuses, particularly the youth caucus, now there are 79 additional positions that need to be filled at large.
Okay.
So now the court cases happen. The ADP basically sues the reform group. The reform group has set up a meeting for November the 2nd. So they were basically trying to cancel or delay that meeting on the 2nd.
Okay.
Right? So the local judge orders the meeting not to happen. It gets appealed to the Alabama Supreme Court. The Alabama Supreme Court basically stays that decision. So the meeting happens on November the 5th.
Okay.
And let me make sure I got my dates right. Yeah, November the 2nd, the meeting happened. And so now you have the Diversity Caucus and the subgroups that I identified before nominated and filled their seats. And their seats were filled with both African American and non-African American who fit in that category. Mm-hmm. So they're African American LGBTQ, African American youth, et cetera, et cetera.
Okay.
And so that now sets us up to where we are right now. And so there's supposed to be a meeting on the 16th of November, which was the Nancy Worley establishment group that was meeting to elect leadership on that day. So basically what you have right now are two sets of people claiming to be the legitimate leadership of the Alabama Democrats.
This is like things we see, even though it's not a governmental agency. This is something we see in other countries where they say, no, we're the full, we're the people in charge. No, we're the people in charge. Right. What's a Democrat listening to us today who's not inside, who's just a Democrat? What are they supposed to think?
Well, this goes back to the reason why I referenced us going around when we were going to Representative Burns' town hall meetings and just talking and listening to people. So if we are recruiting people into the party, we're not currently at the stage where if we're incapable of talking to each other, how are we going to talk to the independent?
Right.
How are we going to talk to the moderate Republican? How are we going to talk to the people within our own base that we need to be enthusiastic and passionate about 2020? It creates a problem.
Yeah.
You know, and so when you get into what it is we need to do is all of us need to take a deep breath. We need to get together in a room. And we need to talk to each other and stop yelling at each other. And when I think about just what you and I have done in our relationship, having different political philosophies, the whole concept of Kennedy for Alabama started with you and I talking outside of one of your live shots.
Yeah.
And just the whole concept of we think it's probably better radio if we get us on the air and we could discuss and debate these issues without calling each other names.
Yeah.
And I think the feedback, at least the feedback that I've gotten on Kennedy for Alabama and in particular the segments we do on your show, has all been positive because people can actually hear us discussing the issues.
And this is one that, you know, often you and I are back and forth and debating these ideas. This is one where I've just pulled up a chair because I want to, I'm interested. I'm a curious person. I look at these headlines that come out through this, and I wanted to know why.
Right. And so if I was just to put a bow on the whole issue, in a nutshell, there have been lots of accusations back and forth. Some racial, but not necessarily racist.
Mm-hmm.
Some races, some reverse races, however you want to do permutations on that. But the whole thing literally comes down to two questions. The first is how many positions should be appointed versus elected, and then who has the authority to appoint those positions. That's really what we're talking about in a nutshell. Mm-hmm. And if ultimately what we want to do is we want to win elections, then really what we should be figuring out how to do is how to elect more people and how to appoint less.
Yeah, it's sitting where I am. Mm-hmm. As a non-Democrat, I would say, yeah, it seems like in any system, the more people that have a voice and don't think, oh, well, those folks over there are just appointing their friends.
Yeah, well, we know part of the problem with the pure election is the legacy that race has in terms of how we live, and then the drawing of the legislative districts.
Right.
You know, there's a court case going on right now with federal congressional districts about cracking and packing the African-American community. So from a federal perspective, we are underrepresented.
Oh, that's going to be an additional issue, too. That's going on at the same time. We could lose a congressional district.
You know,
talk about adding a second African-American or minority-majority district.
Yeah.
Could we lose one? And, at that point, if we lose one, do you just redistrict and call it done? Or do you add the second minority-majority district and, you know?
And that's all going to have to be decided. The nightmare scenario is not that we lose one, but there's a possibility we could lose two.
Don't start with
me. I know. But if we lose two and the court case comes into play, now all of a sudden, like you said, it's a complete nightmare scenario. But yeah, for those of us who have grown up in spiritual traditions, we're praying for our party.
Mm-hmm.
Because at the end of the day, we know that our state's better if our party's better, and we're actually more competitive with this Republican supermajority.
Thank you for the lesson. I appreciate it. We'll go back to our normal corners and debate issues next time we talk.
We will.
But I really do appreciate you bringing this knowledge here, because I've been wondering about it for a long time, and now I have a better understanding, although now I have other worries for the Alabama Democrat Party that I didn't even have before.
Well, the thing that I think is important, and this is my call to action for both the media and folks who are Democrats but not necessarily within the Democratic Party, is just understand the facts, what the facts are, before we start having debates about what the facts mean. And the media has a responsibility to do a better job of communicating that as well.
I think you started it right here. Robert, thank you, man. Coming right back, more of Midday Mobile. Of course, you can catch Kennedy for Alabama tomorrow evening at 6. And every Friday evening at 6 here at FM Talk 106.5. Plus, we'll go back to our corners and debate issues coming up on Thursday mornings on Mobile Mornings. All right, coming back, Director of Alabama Wildlife and Freshwater Fisheries, Chuck Sykes, joins us on Midday Mobile. Y'all stay close.